So Jim Harbaugh obviously has done a marvelous job the last two seasons, turning it around from a guy who got a lot of wins, except for the COVID year, but not big enough wins.
Right. Not the big wins, not the ranked wins, not the ranked wins on the road.
Correct.
He's checked all those boxes by this point.
Yes, he has.
Except one.
Yeah. So the question we were discussing is what's the main reason that things have changed in Michigan? Especially with him. And I think it's tough to figure out one reason, but if I have to pick one, I think that he finally realized that he needed to change his staff. And I think the changes that he made in the staff with Mike Hart it was Mo Lindquist first and then he left.
Yeah, Klingscale,
Bellamy.
Mike Elston.
Well, yeah, that was for this year, but even before last year, Mike McDonald, younger guys that more of the players could identify with. It wasn't the all. And I think that changed the whole aspect of the program, inject some youth and some new ideas. And the other thing, which sets up, he has become more of a CEO than an actual head coach. It's not like he's not like Bobby Bowden was at the end or anything like that. Don't get me wrong. He's still hands on.
Yeah.
But he is more of a CEO than he used to be.
He's gone the Lloyd Carr method, where he's got offensive coordinator, defense coordinator, and he lets them handle that side of the ball.
Correct.
And doesn't necessarily, he's still part of the game planning. He's still part of, talking to the quarterbacks and, tips here and there, but he lets Matt Weiss coach the quarterbacks. He lets Matt Weiss and Sherrone Moore call plays on Saturday. He lets, last year Mike McDonald and this year Jesse Minter have full reign and control of the defense. And he is obviously directing how you're going and recruiting players and the talent that they're going to get. He's hiring all of those different coaches. And I think to your point as well, I was going to say it's the assistant coaches. And I would even go back even further and say he's never been afraid to make changes. Now, some of those changes weren't always the best ones. Some of them took a little while. And with Don Brown, we loved the aggressive style, but it wasn't working when it mattered most. It wasn't working to start the season off against Notre Dame. It wasn't working at the end of the season against Ohio State. So eventually, and it took a little bit of time, he made a change. It was the offense. Hey, you go through a bunch of different offensive coordinators, line coaches, and he finally said, I'm not calling plays anymore. I'm going to bring in Josh Gattis. Now, that took a couple of years, but obviously Josh Gattis was the coordinator last year when they went to and won the Big Ten Championship, went to the college football playoffs. Coach Gattis leaves, and he doesn't say, things are going well. I'm going to take over again. No, he promotes Matt Weiss, along with Sherrone Moore, was co-offensive coordinator last year as well.
Right.
And to your point, is the CEO of making sure everything operates smoothly. And I think there's been a shift in recruiting as well. The type of individual that they're recruiting, and I think you would know this because you've had a number of guys from the school that you announced go to Michigan. And Donovan Edwards, Makari Page had great games on some big moments.
Two more coming next year.
Right. But it's not necessarily trying to match star for star with other programs. It's a matter of how does this individual fit into our program? How does, can we develop, is this three-star? Do we think he's really a four-star and we can develop them?
Correct.
They're developing players at a better rate and a better level.
He wouldn't put on the signing with the stars or any of that stuff now that he did in the past when he first got here.
Right.
That'd be fair. All right, 248-539-9797. Let's say good morning to Tim in Springfield. You're 97 on the ticket.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I'll get to your question. I think it was getting rid of Don Brown. I don't know all the ins and outs like you guys do, but I just seem to think something changed a couple years ago. But I have a question for John. I called, it was probably last week or the week before. I grew up outside of Columbus, Ohio, wore my Rob Lytle jersey to school every Friday. Very proud, and I'm kind of cutthroat when it comes to Michigan. They got the ball back at the very end of the game, and I don't know if this went through your mind, John. I don't know, what was it, a minute 30, 2 minutes left, and they got the ball back and ran it out. Hang 50 on them. Did that go through your mind at all? I'll hang up and listen.
It did not go through my mind. I know that the whole conversation about, you know, Ryan Day said, I'm going to hang 100 on him. And that was, you know, we got to ask the question, you know, did that change the rivalry? Well, and you made the point. It was, there's no audio of that.
Correct.
And it was said, I believe, in a, you know, to his team.
Yes.
And so obviously it leaks out at some point, but there's a lot of things that you say to your team. And I'm just going back on the play-by-play. Yeah, they got the ball back with a minute 37 at the end of the game. And at that point, it was just take a knee. And I understand running offensive plays and trying to score 50 on them. However, there is a great feeling and of the players on the field of victory formation.
And by the way,
and taking a knee saying, you know what? We are going to show you some mercy. We could, but we're not going to.
By the way, what a class move having Blake Corum come in for the last snap.
Yeah, exactly. And yep. For me, that's more important for this team to do something like that than to get to some, you know, ooh, over 50 and all that. I think you've already won the battle, by the way, when you've given up exactly half 100 in two games.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
You know, to me, the karma and just it's almost like it was, I don't know, it was meant to be.
Yep.
That it has hit exactly 50 points in 2 years.
I know, that's pretty funny.
You know, I think the one thing, look, I'm not going to single out Don Brown, the person. I'm going to single out the defensive philosophy. I mean, Jim Harbaugh did bring him in here and went with that philosophy. I think when he decided to go away from Don Brown and change the philosophy, the conversations he probably had with his brother in terms of before bringing in Mike McDonald and the type of defense they've had since, it was a crucial moment. I think, too, he has gone back to who he is as a head coach. He's going to be physical, and he's going to run the football. And that's why he had success with the 49ers. They had good physical defenses, and they ran the ball. Like, remember, it's like he brought the counter back to the NFL.
Yeah, look, we mentioned yesterday, he was, you know, we talk about Hurts and Sanders, you know, having all those combined yards. The last team to do it was Kaepernick and Frank Gore. And he also, you know, go back to Stanford. Yeah, everybody talks about Andrew Luck. But then you have Gerhardt and that team. They ran the same play, physical, old school.
Yeah, that was the thing. Andrew Luck, some people didn't realize why he was such a good prospect because he never had the stats that maybe he could have had if you had a high-flying, prolific offense.
Right. Well,
but it was the style of play that he wanted.
Here's something else. And, I mean, I'll ask you guys this. What is the reputation of Ohio State quarterbacks in the NFL?
That they suck.
Okay. So the one game that you continue to struggle in is Ohio State. So what does he do? He goes and gets NFL-style defensive coordinators. Brings them into, you know, to Michigan. And, you know, Mike McDonald last year
That's
from Buffalo.
Point.
And so now all of a sudden you're running an NFL defense and or NFL-style of defense to compete with what you know is a quarterback system that struggles at the next level.
Great point. That's a terrific point. Here's some ticket text as well. Everybody amplifying, getting rid of Don Brown is what changed things. He never made adjustments at halftime. He turned it around because of the Ravens defensive internship program.
Yeah.
Michigan turned it around because he changed up his coaching staff, which is hard to do. Finding players like JJ, he's Harbaugh 2.0, buying into what Michigan is, that's why it turned around. And you might want to give JJ some credit for keeping that recruiting class with Donovan Edwards and those guys together. That
Junior Colson.
Yeah, that was key as well. The interview was great. Well, thank you. I think he finally decided to forget about the NFL. Seems different now. Go Blue. Well, that remains
to
be seen.
He does seem very comfortable in his surroundings and setting.
Yes, he does.
Look, I think culprit number one was Don Brown and that defensive style. But I'm sorry, I think he also got caught up in the speed and space thing, which goes against who he is as a head coach, philosophy-wise. I do. And I also think when he got Shea Patterson and Don Brown, they made good first impressions, didn't they?
Yeah.
And I think it killed him because he got in bed with them and the loyalty extended too long. And Shea Patterson was not a very good quarterback. Okay?
No, he wasn't.
And he never got better.
And he didn't work hard enough either. Chris in Shelby Township, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I want to talk about Jim Harbaugh. And you know what? I'm a huge Harbaugh fan. huge. I love the history he has with the team. I think he's always going to give 100%. What worries me is, I mean, I think we beat Ohio State back in February when he came back to Michigan. That worries me that he wants to go to the NFL. And I almost feel like, I mean, I've watched all his, you know, press conferences, and let's face it, they're really uncomfortable. Yeah. Until the last year and a half or so. And that's almost like somebody told him, hey, bud, you need to sort this out if you want to get back to the NFL. And that worries me. Like, okay, I listened to all, like, his one this morning with you guys. Like, it was a pleasure to listen to that.
Yep, and used to be torture.
It's not uncomfortable. It's not uncomfortable anymore. And that worries me as a Michigan man. Like, oh, man, like, he's, you know, taking the extra step. Because, I mean, some of his interviews, even at San Fran and everything, they were uncomfortable.
Chris, I'm trying to pick up on your philosophy here. Because he is better with the media, you feel like that is the signal that he's got an eye on the NFL?
Yeah, that's 100%, John. Like, I'm usually pretty good at reading the book by its cover, and I just worry that every interview with the guys in this, you know, everywhere he went, they were all uncomfortable. Like, I never found one that was like Jim laughing and having a good time. And now he looks like he's at peace. But I just worry that somebody told him, Jim, like, you don't do an interview very well at all. Like, you got to sort this out if you want to come back to the NFL. I just think that, you know.
I think you're partially right. I think you're right where people told him you don't do interviews really well. But I don't think it's anything to do with the NFL.
I mean, I don't think so either.
No, look, the NFL, I still think, especially if they win, you know, their next three games, if they play three games, it's going to be calling. Whether he wants to deal with it again or not, that's up to him.